one more day of Lav Shei Mamaisi, you have the Mar Makomos. I think there may still be an extra one somewhere floating around, because today we're gonna look inside a lot. So one more day of Lav Shei Mamaisi, then Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. Tomorrow we'll start a new sugya, I guess. We'll do Einon Shemin Adin. What I'm trying to do, if you haven't noticed, with Makos, is instead of going through line by line, you know, the nitty gritty of the Gemara, just picking Shas sugyas that come up. So Lav Shei Mamaisi is Dav Dalet Amud Beis, and we already did Dav Hei Amud Aleph, is a lot of Edom Zom and stuff. We already did that earlier in the year, and then Einon Shin Min Adin appears in Dav Hei Amud Beis. So there's a lot to do over here. Maybe we'll do Kasher Zom Lo Kasher Asa afterwards. Okay, there's a lot to do. So anyway, Lav Shei Mamaisi, yesterday we learned the piece from Rav Elchanan, where Rav Elchanan discusses why it is that the Gemara says that in Maseches Yevamos that the Rabbanan have the right to be Oker Davar Torah b'Shevi Al Ta'aseh, but not b'Kum V'Aseh. What distinguishes a Shevi Al Ta'aseh from a Kum V'Aseh? And Rav Elchanan raised the possibility. He raised the standard possibility that Shevi Al Ta'aseh is less severe. Whenever you're violating something passively, you're not doing something as terrible as when you violate something actively, and that's what distinguishes the two. And the rabbis only have the right to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah for something that's a less severe avera, but not something that's more severe. But then he said another possibility. Maybe they're of equal severity, Shevi Al Ta'aseh and Kum V'Aseh. And if they're of equal severity, the only reason the Rabban could be Oker Davar Min HaTorah b'Shevi Al Ta'aseh and not the Kum V'Aseh is because when a person is faced with a situation, it's like, we've got to do something about this. Hang up a sign. Birds, wake up. Okay, whenever... I feel bad. So when the other possibility he has is that the Shevi Al Ta'aseh and Kum V'Aseh are really the same level of severity. It's just that if you're faced with a situation where the Torah tells you blow shofar on Shabbos, and the Torah also tells you listen to the Rabbanan when they say don't blow shofar on Shabbos, now what am I supposed to do? The Torah is telling me one thing, the Torah is telling me another thing. What am I supposed to do? So the answer is, if you don't know what to do, do nothing. And that's why it always turns out that it's Oker Davar Min HaTorah b'Shevi Al Ta'aseh b'Nafka Kum V'Aseh. But the level of severity is the same, so it would chap a lot of nafka minas. Because remember, the whole idea that we quoted from Rav Snipeshitz was that the reason that a lav shei yesh b'maisa is more chamer than a lav shei in b'maisa, that a lav shei yesh b'maisa gets malchus and a lav shei in b'maisa doesn't, is because a lav shei yesh b'maisa is more chamer, that we consider it more chamer than a lav shei in b'maisa. And that's what Rav Snipeshitz said, that you're only pasuleidus when you violate a lav shei yesh b'maisa. Lav shei in b'maisa, you're not pasuleidus. But if you hold that whether you do a maisa or you don't do a maisa, it's all on the same level. It's the same darga of chumrah. It's all on the same. It's on the same level of how severe it is. Then, if you're pasuleidus when you do a lav sheish ba maisa, for which you get malchus, you should be pasuleidus when you do a lav sheish ba maisa, for which you don't get malchus also. It's all on the same level of chumrah. And we also saw Rav Yosef Engel in Lekach Tov assumed very clearly that Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa is more severe than Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. It's more strict than Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. That any time you do something, B'kum V'Aseh, it's more strict. But again, the Rav Elchanan was not so certain about that. And we saw others, Knas HaGadol, and others that also were not so certain about that. But I want to talk about this. So what I want to do now is I want to take a look at the Minchas Chinuch. It's a long Minchas Chinuch, but we're just going to take bits and pieces of the Minchas Chinuch on the topic, the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Ches. The Mitzvah is Shalol Lahosir Mibasra Pesach. It's the Isser of leaving over Nosar from the Karban Pesach. Why are we focused on the Isser of leaving over Nosar? Because that was the basis of our Gemara. Remember, our Gemara had said that in Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva, why it is that you don't get Malkus for Nosar. Everyone agreed that you don't get Malkus for Nosar, but they didn't agree why you don't get Malkus for Nosar. Rabbi Yehuda said the reason you don't get Malkus for Nosar is that Ba'a Kasav Litin Asei Achalos Asei became a Lava Nitik Lasei. The Torah doesn't only say you're not allowed to make Nosar, you're not allowed to leave over the carbon. The Torah also says if you do leave it over, you have to burn it. And that makes it a Lava Nitik Lasei. Lava Nitik Lasei, you don't get Malkus. Comes along Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, forget about Lavanita Klasei. There's another reason why you don't get Malkus, a more fundamental reason why you don't get Malkus for Noser. What's that? What's the more fundamental reason? Lav Shein B'Maisa. Noser is something that's done passively. So it's Lav Shein B'Maisa, you don't get Malkus on it. So you would expect, which of those reasons is more more inclusive? Meaning, which of those reasons is going to be applied more broadly? I mean, let's say that the reason you don't get Malkus Fornosa is simply because it's a Lavanita Class A. Can you envision a case where you do get Malkus Fornosa? Is there any way that it's not Nita Class A, that it won't be fixable by an essay, and then you would get Malkus? So there is a sugya later on in the Masechta. What if you take away the possibility of doing that essay? You ruin the chance of ever being able to fix your los essay. What would be an example? You left over Nosar, and then you ate it. The essay is to burn it, and that fixes the los essay, right? But now you've eaten it. It can't get burnt anymore. So you lost the opportunity to do the assay that will fix it. Well, then in that case, l'chora, one should get Malkus. If the whole reason you don't get Malkus and Nosar is because the lav anita klasei, that means we don't get Malkus because we can't give you Malkus for the lav. The lav might go away as soon as you fix it. As soon as you burn the Nosar, that will fix the lav. Then the lav won't exist anymore. Then it will turn out that we just assaulted you for no reason. So it can't be based on, we can't give Malkus on a lav anita klasei, but what if we know for sure you're never going to fix it because you've ruined any possibility of fixing it? Then you would get Malkus. But if you hold that the reason you don't get Malkus on Nosar is because it's a lav shein bo maisa, see, even if you ruin the possibility of ever fixing it, l'chaora, you still can't get Malkus because it's a lav shein bo maisa. So if you're going to hold that one does not get Malkus for lav anita klasei, and you're going to hold like Rabbi Akiva, that one does not get Malkus for lav shein bo maisa, if you actually hold both are true, which would you give as the reason that you don't get Malkus Anosa? Lav shein bo maisa. Because that reason is going to apply in all cases. Lav anita klasei will only apply in a limited number of cases. It's therefore somewhat surprising that if you look on page 17 over here in the packets, that the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Aval ein lokin al lav zeh, in the middle of the page, Aval ein lokin al lav zeh, we don't get Malkus on this lav of Nosar, lefi shehu nitak la'asei, because it could be fixed by doing an asei. Shenemar, v'nosar men rad boker, be'esh tisrofim. V'alachi, lav sh nitak la'asei, ein lokin al lav, and l'alachi is, you don't get Malkus on a lav ha nitak la'asei. Why is he saying that? He should have said, I agree, you don't get Malkus. Everyone agrees you don't get Malkus. But he should not have said because it's lav anita klasei. He should have said because it's lav shein bo maisa. We pass on lav shein bo maisa, you don't get Malkus on. That is the problem with the Sefer HaChinuch. If you look at the Minchas Chinuch on the side of the page over there, on whatever page 17 or Nun Hei, depending which page number you're looking at, on the side of the page, in the paragraph on the left-hand side, the second paragraph, left-hand side, Lefishu Nita Klase, Ayin Perik Chai, Mipsule Mekdash Nalacha Tes, look in the 18th paragraph of Psule Mekdash Nalacha Tes of the Rambam, Tama HaKesef Mishnah Ala Rambam, Loma Lo Kosev Atam, Davi Lav Shein Bamaisa. Apparently the Sefer HaChinuch is not the only one who said that the reason you don't get Malkus Anosis is because Lav Nita Klase, the Rambam also said that. But why? Why didn't he just say that you don't get Malkus Lav Shein Bo Maisa? V'tireitz bedochak. And he had a very forced answer. The Kesef Mishnah gave a very forced answer for the Rambam. Now, then he says, and the Mishnah Melech points out why it's such a strong kasha. Because he points out exactly what we just pointed out. That if you take away the opportunity to ever fix the assay, you would get Malkus if you're only concerned about Lav Anita Klase. But you would still not get Malkus if it's Lav Shein Bo Maisa. So you really should have given the example of Lav Shein Bo Maisa. So if you look at the second wide line, it says, L'chori Yesh Lomar, Demishkachas Lom Maisa. It could be that Nosar sometimes does have a Maisa. It's not something that's always Ein Bo Maisa. Sometimes you will have a Maisa. How do you have a Maisa of Nosar? L'fi Amavur B'makus Chafal V'Mralif. Let's say you have an issur where where the lav is inbo maisa. The lav does not involve a maisa. But you put yourself in a position to violate the lav by doing a maisa. For example, let's say Korban Pesach, for example. Anyone know how do you prepare Korban Pesach meat? How do you eat it? Any halachas of preparing the Korban Pesach? Lots of halachas. But you cook it? Wrong. You absolutely cannot cook it. It's nisudah rice, so to cook it, you better do your homework before Mashiach comes. Right? We don't cook it. We must roast the Korban Pesach. It's nisudah rice to cook the Korban Pesach. If you do cook it, it's an issur d'oraisa to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it cooked. It can only be eaten roasted. So what's going to happen if you cooked it? You're not going to be allowed to eat it. So what do you have to do? Leave it. And what's going to happen when you leave it? It's going to become noser. And then you'll end up burning it. But wait a second. It became noser not just by you sitting there doing nothing. It became noser because you did a maisa. What maisa did you do? You cooked it. When you cooked it, you put it in a position that it had to become nosa. So even though the lav itself was just sitting there and letting it become old, but there was a maisa that created that lav. Maybe that's enough to call it a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Wild chiddush, no? Maybe that's enough to say that you get malchus on it. Because you actively did something. Even though what you actively did wasn't the Maisa Avera per se, wasn't the Maisa Avera of Nosar, but that created the requirement of leaving it over. And therefore it became Nosar.
Why can't you get like normal food? Meaning like just get a different carbon.
Get a different carbon.
And then eat.
Yeah, but this was already Kadosh B'Kedushas Korban Pesach.
So it's Psalim Mikdash. Is that potentially a lesser of era?
No, it's not a lesser
of era. And it counts as Nosar?
Yeah, apparently. No, you would think it does. Then he says in the next paragraph, maybe if it already became possible before it became Nosar, the Isser of Nosar is not Chal on it. And maybe therefore the whole Isser of eating Nosar and the Shreifas Nosar, maybe it's not Chal. So he's not satisfied with that explanation. But then he says, how do we define lav sheyesh b'maisa, lav sheyesh b'maisa? This is probably the most fundamental element of the entire sugya. What if you have an avera that you could do a maisa, or you could not do a maisa to violate it? You have an avera that can go either way. It sometimes it's violated with a maisa, sometimes violated without a maisa. So what would you say? Is that called lav sheyesh b'maisa, or is that called a lav she'in b'maisa? For example, this is the very example of the paradigm of what you get malchus for. Is losachsum sharbadisha. What does that mean? You're not allowed to muzzle the cow while it's threshing. So normally that's yesh b'maisa, because how do you muzzle it? You stick a muzzle on it. You know what else you could do it? Every time you see it's about to eat, you yell, "Whoop!" And the cow jumps and it doesn't eat. So it's ein b'maisa. You're scary. You just scream or something. So that's chosma al yidei kol, al yidei dibur, where it's not a maisa. So is that called lav sheyesh b'maisa, or is that called lav she'in b'maisa? How do you view it? Three shitos minchas chinuch chalaks. Over here, we're not going to read all three shitos inside, but three basic shitos. One shita is, it's a lav she'in b'maisa. Anytime you can violate an avera without doing a maisa, even if you chose to violate it by doing a maisa, since it's possible to violate without a maisa, that makes it a lav she'in b'maisa. And that's the sheet of the chinuch in mitzvah shin mem dalid. Or shin dalid mem, he likes to call it, not shin mem dalid, because that spells shmat. So shin dalid mem. That if it's possible to do a maisa, to do it without a maisa, it's called lav she'in b'maisa, even if you happen to do it with a maisa. Probably the standard explanation, Minchas Chinuch quotes over here, is it's not about what it's possible to do, it's about what you did do. If you did it with a Maisa, then you get Malkus, that's Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa. If you violate it without a Maisa, then you don't get Malkus, that's Lav She'in B'Maisa. I don't care what's possible, I care about what you did, right? And then there's a third shita. Shita of the Magen Mishnah in the 13th paragraph of Hilchos Schiros, where the Magen Mishnah writes that even if you didn't do a Maisa, but it's possible to violate the Avera with a Maisa. The exact opposite of the first shita. It's possible to violate the Avera with a Maisa, but you happen to violate it without a Maisa, you would still get Malkus. Because Ein Bo Maisa means that it's E Efshar La'asoso Al Yedei Maisa. Lav She'in Bo Maisa means a lav that never has a Maisa. A lav that you can't do with a Maisa. But as long as it's possible to violate it with a Maisa, that would be called a lav She'yesh Bo Maisa. Those are the three basic shitos that the Sefer HaChinuch lays out. However, over here we're not really dealing with that exactly. No? Over here, what was the case we gave? By Nosar. It wasn't that you violated Nosar by doing a Maisa. What was the case exactly over here? You violated Nosar by sitting still. What was the Maisa in question? When you actively did what? You cooked it. When you actively cooked it. That was the Maisa. But that wasn't the Issur. This would be a different category. This would be called Tchilaso Al Yedei Maisa. That the process began through a Maisa, but the Maisa wasn't a Maisa Issur. Now it happens to be cooking it is a Maisa Issur, but it's a different Issur. It's an Issur of cooking it. It's not the Issur of Nosa. The Maisa wasn't the Maisa Issur. Let's say Shatness. This is the classic example. This is what the Minchas Chinuch discusses. What's the Issur of Shatness? People misunderstand the Issur of Shatness. People think the Issur of Shatness is to put on a beged of Shatness. That is not the Issur of Shatness. The Issur of Shatness is to be wearing a beged of Shatness. Not to do the Maisa Levisha, but once it's on you, to have it on you. To wear a beged of Shatness. So, it's Chilas Al Yedei Maisa. You start with the pu'ula of Levisha by putting it on. You put on the shatness jacket. But the Issur itself is no Maisa. The Issur itself is sitting there and there's a jacket on you and it happens to have shatness in it. Kol Zman that you're wearing Klayim. You're not Osam Maisa at all. It's Shevi Al Tase. It's just there. Another example we gave yesterday. You take a Shavua. We didn't give this yesterday, we gave a similar example. You take a shavua to eat a loaf of bread, this loaf of bread, a particular loaf of bread. That's the example the Rishonim always give, loaf of bread. Okay, donut, it could be anything. You take a shavua, you're going to eat this donut, and then you burn it, or you throw it into the ocean. Now, the Issur is violated with inaction. The Issur is violated because you didn't eat it. That's Shevi Al Tase. But how did you create a situation where you didn't eat it? By doing a Maisa of burning it. By doing a Maisa of throwing it into the ocean. So that also would be called Tchilaso Al Yedei Maisa. Where the throwing it into the ocean, the burning it, was a Maisa, but the Issur itself was not a Maisa. In these kinds of situations, Minchas Chinuch writes over here that he believes you would get Malkus. However, there's a Tosfos Masechta Shavuos that implies otherwise. And in this kind of situation, you would not get Malkus. That it's called the Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. So far all we've done is we've tried to define what's called Yesh Bo Maisa or Ein Bo Maisa, but on two different levels. I just said two. On two different levels, we tried to define what's called Yesh Bo Maisa, Ein Bo Maisa. One level is, how are you magdir a given Isser when that Isser can be violated with a Maisa and without a Maisa? Like Lasaksim, you can get the animal muzzled by muzzling it physically or by just yelling every time it's about to eat something. So is that called Lav She'esh B'maisa, Lav She'en B'maisa? Three shitos on that. That as long as it's possible to do it all day, it's called Lav She'esh B'maisa. as long as it's possible to do without a maisa, it's called avshein b'maisa. Or just look at how you did it. If you did it with a maisa, avshein b'maisa. You did it without a maisa, avshein b'maisa. Then the second machlokas we discussed is not just be magdi the yisur itself, but what if you did? Let's assume that any time you do with a maisa, it's called lav sheyesh b'maisa. But what if you didn't do the iser with the maisa itself? But you did tchilasa al yedei maisa. You put on the shatnis. You burnt the item that you had a shavua that you weren't going to eat. So in those situations, also it's a machlokas. Minchas Chinuch seems to understand, and many others based on Yerushalmi, that would be called a yesh b'maisa, and one would get malkus. But Tosfos Masechta Shavuos seems to understand otherwise. Good. Now, if you look back in the Minchas Chinuch on page 15 over here, Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Ches, I really just wanted to take a look at a few interesting Minchas Chinuchs over here. Minchas Chinuch in the left-hand side of the page, second to last paragraph, commenting on where the Sefer HaChinuch talking about the Yisur of Nosra says that the Yisur of Nosra applies to both males and females, to men and women. Is that a chiddush that the Yisur of Nosra applies to both men and women? Or is that a davar pasha? What would you have assumed if I would have asked you? The Losa say, do not make Nosra, do not leave over meat of carbon. Should it apply to women? Of course it should. Why should it? Every Losa say in the Torah applies to women. Are women allowed to eat chazer? No. Are they allowed to eat nevela? No. Are they allowed to be mechal shabbos? No. What mitzvahs are women exempt from? What category of mitzvah are women exempt from? Asei shazman gram. But hishva kosav isha l'ish l'kolonchin shabbatorah. When it comes to every los asei in the Torah, men and women are equal. Says the Minchas Chinuch, wait, not so fast. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if women are included in the Yisur of Nosar. What? It's a los asei. Of course they're included. How could you say they're not included in the Yisur of Nosar? So he says, it's not pashut kolkach. It's not so pashut. L'chora, on the one hand, you would say, every mitzvah slos say, I don't care if it's time-bound or not, women are chayivin, so the chayivin this as well. And that makes sense. However, he points out, the prima gadim n'psicha kolalas, Torah chayim, chelik shein yos yudalit, brings us back to the source. Where does the Gemara discuss women's chiyuv or ptur in mitzvah seishas man grama and mitzvah lo sasei? It's a sugya maseches kiddushin. The Mishnah in Kiddushin daf chav tesam ralf tells us that kol mitzvah lo sasei nashim chayavos. Women are chayav in all mitzvah lo sasei. So you take that at face value on the surface, very clear, women are going to be chayav in osir as well. But says the Prima Gadim, let's dig a little deeper. Not even so much deeper. Just look at the Gemara on that Mishnah. When the Gemara asks, Mina hani mili, how do I know that women are chayiv in all mitzvot lo sasei? Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Echein Tanu Dibei Rav Shmuel Amar Kra, it's a pasuk in Bamidbar, Ish o Isha ki Ya'asu, not really, Ish o Isha ki Ya'asu, Hishva Kosav Isha L'Ish L'Kol Onshin Shabbatorah. So a couple of things right there in that pasuk, in that phrase. How do I know women are chayiv in all those sases? Because there's a pasuk that says, Ish o Isha ki Ya'asu, translate, Ish o Isha, man or woman, ki Ya'asu, when they do, or when they did, in Avera, they get punished. And what does the Gemara formulate? Hishva ha'kosav Isha l'ish l'kol, onshin Shabbatorah. Men and women are the same for every onesh in the Torah, for every punishment in the Torah. Rashi writes over there, Vilavin onshin malkus hein. Los asays are called kol onshin shabbatorah because los asays you always get malkus for. Always? Most of the time. But we're learning about a lav shein b'maisa. So not only is it not isha isha ki ya'asu, there's no maisa, you can't call it kol onshin shabbatorah. Onshin means that there's no nesh. And Rashi says the only reason a woman is chayav in every lav is because every lav has an onesh. But what about when you have a lav that doesn't have an onesh? You have a lav shein bo maisa. There's no onesh. And the implication is, without that drasha of Rabbi Dom Rav, we would say that women are pater from mitzvos lo sase. Meaning, I would have thought, you know what? Give me a drasha that women are pater from mitzvos shasman grama. The Gemara gives a drasha. And whatever you don't have a drasha for, the default position should be that women are Jews also, and therefore the chayivin, all the mitzvos of men are chayivin. What do I need drashas for to tell me that women are chayivin lo sases? But apparently the Gemara assumes we need a drasha. And without that drasha, we would work with the assumption that women are pater. Therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, L'chori Yishlomer, last paragraph on the page, D'kushyas hashas minalon d'nashim chayavs b'mitzvos lo sasei. When the Gemara asks, how do I know that women are chayav mitzvos lo sasei? Haynu dafka b'lo sasei shahazman grama. What is the default position? Had the Torah not told me anything about the chayav of women, and the Torah just said, here are the mitzvos, what would I have assumed? Would I have assumed women are chayav, or would I have assumed women are pater? What would you have assumed? They're chayav, they're Jews. Of course they're going to be chayav. That's of course what we would have assumed. So why is the Gemara asking, how do I know that women are chayav in Los Angeles? Why does the Gemara even raise the issue? And why does the Gemara quote a drasha? I don't need a drasha. Isn't that the default position? Of course they're chayav. They're Jewish. It says Minchas Chinuch, maybe when the Gemara asks how I know that women are chayav in Los Hasays, it's working with the assumption that we already have a drasha to tell us that they're pater from mitzvahs shazman grum. Once, of course, the default position is that they're chayav in everything. But we have a Gemara that says, a Mishnah that says, and a Gemara that darshins that they're pater from mitzvahs shazman grum. Once they're pater from mitzvahs shazman grum, based on the drasha that the pater from mitzvahs shazman grum, now the paradigm is shifted a little bit. Yeah, my natural assumption when I don't have any drashas is that they're chayiv, and therefore, whenever it's not a time-bound mitzvah, asay or los asay, they're going to be chayiv. But once you have a drasha to tell me that women are pater from mitzvah shazman grama, maybe it's not only mitzvah asay shazman grama, maybe it's all mitzvah shazman grama. Maybe it's even mitzvah los asay shazman grama, and it's on that that the Gemara asks, minahani mili, how do I know that women are chayiv even in los asays? Shazman grama. How do I know women can't eat chametz? So lo sasei shazman grama. That's what the Gemara is asking. And on that, the Gemara says this drasha of Rabbi Dom Rav, isha isha ki yasu hishra akas v'isha lish l'kol onshin shabbatorah. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what emerges from all this is, let's categorize mitzvahs in four categories. Mitzvah sasei shazman grama, mitzvah sasei she'ein hazman grama, mitzvah lo sasei shazman grama, mitzvah lo sasei she'ein hazman grama. Yeah? How do I know that women are chayav in mitzvahs asei she'ein hazman grama? Because they're Jewish. How do I know that women are chayav in mitzvahs lo sasei she'ein hazman grama? Because they're Jewish. That's it. Right? They're Jewish. Obviously they're chayav in anything that's not time bound. Okay, how do I know they're pater from mitzvah sasei shahazman grama? Well, that the Gemara has a whole drasha. Compared to tefillin, mezuzah, whatever, a whole drasha. That they're pater from mitzvah sasei shahazman grama. How do I know that they're chayiv in mitzvah lo sasei shahazman grama? Hishva kasuv isha le'ish lekolon shem shabbatora. Isha u'isha ki ya'asu. That's where that drasha comes in. Says the Minchas Chinuch, but that drasha is very limited. It's limited to Ya'asu. It's limited to Onshin. It's only on those los asays that you would actually get Malkus for. And it would therefore turn out, if in that box, in that category of los asays shazman grama, you can come up with a los asay that does not get malchus. A losase shazman grama that does not get an onesh. That's no maisa. There's no maisa. It's no ya'asu. It's no onesh. It would turn out a woman would be pati. What would be such a losase? Perhaps nosa is such a losase. Nosa, there's no maisa. There's no onesh. So losase in the Torah. If you're willing to consider nosa as zman grama, if you're willing to consider it zman grama, then it would be in that category. And then women would be patafon. Because it's not an onesh. Wow, it's an astonishing chiddush, no? That there could be losases that women are patafon. As long as there's zman grama losases and there's no onesh on them. So why did the Rambam and the Minchas and the Sefer HaChinuch say that women are chayiv in osar? But it's not zman grama. Why isn't it zman grama? Let's take lo lahosir mibasar pesach, specifically by korban pesach. There's an iser not to leave over korban pesach. When do you bring korban pesach? It's only one day a year you can bring korban pesach. Isn't that zman grama then? The iser of nosar of korban pesach is generated by bringing the korban pesach. Korban pesach can only be brought one day a year. So in general, when defining Zman Grama, it's a little tricky. There are certain things that can only be done on certain days, but it's not the Zman that's Gorin. Meaning, what creates the Isser of leaving over Basar from Karban Pesach? It's having an otherwise Kasher Karban Pesach. Then when you leave it over, it becomes Nosar of Basar Pesach. How do you get an otherwise Kosher Karban Pesach? You have to bring it at the right time. But it's not the time that causes the Isser of Nosar. What causes the Isser of Nosar is the fact that you have an otherwise kosher Karban Pesach and now you're leaving it over. It's the time that causes having a kosher Karban Pesach. Meaning it's a step removed. It's similar to the Chiddush of Shlomo Klugraz in Shulchan Aruch, where he discusses whether Kiddush Levana is a mitzvah seishas man grama. What would you tie now? Kiddush Levana. Is it Zman Grama? You would think, Shlomo Kluger writes, Ein Zman Grama Gadol Mizeh. There's no bigger mitzvah Zman Grama than that. The moon only reappears, and you only have a new moon once a month. So it's clearly Zman Grama. Says Shlomo Kluger, no. It's not Zman Grama. The Mechayev of Kiddush Levana is a new moon. It's not the beginning of the month. It's a new moon. What makes a new moon appear? The calendar makes that happen. The Zman makes that happen. But the Mechayev is not the Zman. What day of the month can you say Kiddush Levana on? Well, there is no day. It depends on how many days you are from the Molad HaLevana. It all depends on the Molad HaLevana. It's not the Zman that's Gorim. It's the appearance of the Levana that's Gorim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stop the constellations for you because you're Yahushua or whatever, so it's the moon. It's the moon that's Gorim. It's not the Zman that's Gorim. That plays a lot into the discussion of Nashim in Kiddush Levana. The Poskim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quote that Nashim have a minig not to be Mevarich Levana Shehin Gormos Pegama Levana. Quote from a Zohar. That they caused the Pegimas HaLevana. However they did that, they managed to pull it off. They somehow ruined the moon, and therefore it's a sore topic. But you can only say that if they're not chayiv in it. Then you could say, okay, so they're knowing not to do it because they have no chiv. You can only say they have no chiv if it's man grama. If it's not man grama, if someone clearly claims it's not man grama. That's the same idea the poskim use, the achronim and the divrei malkiel. The tshuva uses to explain the very shver shitas haramban. The Ramban in the Sugya and Kiddushin, Lamdalid, when it's listing mitzvah she'ein grama and she'ein zman grama, the Ramban says, what are examples of mitzvah sasei she'ein zman grama? Kigon, sviras ha'omer, is not zman grama. All the acharim jump up and down. Sviras ha'omer is not zman grama. What are you talking about? Of course sviras ha'omer is zman grama. When do you do sviras ha'omer? Second day of Pesach till Shavuos. Period. That's Zman Grama if I ever heard of one. So I think Divrei Malkiel says, no, it must have been a typo. It really said Samach Hei Ayin in the Ramban. and he meant Seder Havoda, and some Chacham decided to write out the words and say Sfiras Omer. But come on, I mean, Seder Havoda, he meant Sfiras Omer. Or at least that's where we had it. So what's Pshat? So one of the explanations that's offered by several Achronim is that Sfiras Omer is not Zman Gramot. What causes the Chiv of Sfira? What generates a Chiv of Sfira on a Daraisa level? Midrabbanan, we count Sfira Bizman as that. We pass in Sfira Bizman as only Drabban. Why is it not Daraisa anymore? Because we have nothing to generate the Chiv. What do you mean? We have the time, we have the second day of Pesach. What really generates the Chiv of Sfira Omer? The Korban Omer generates the Chiv of Sfira Omer. It's not the day. Korban Omer has to be brought in the second day of Pesach, happens to be. But the Korban Omer is what generates the Chiv. So it's not a Zman Grama, it's the carbon that generates Chiv, it's just that the carbon is controlled by time. So if you hold to this Vart, then no sir would not be Zman Grama. Sfiras Omer is not Zman Grama. And Kiddush Levana is not Zman Grama. It's not a mitzvah Daraisa, no. Yeah, Danny?
No, so according to this Vart, can any mitzvah be turned?
How? You can only matzah. How would you say matzah? What generates chiv? Matzah Pesach. Pesach is the day on the calendar. Right. Okay. There's a lot of other gishmaka things in this Minchas Chinuch, but we're out of time over here, so in your spare time, learn through the Minchas Chinuch. All of it. It's a really good sefer. But tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we will start the sugya of Einon Shin Minadin. Of him, Be'ez.